Will the first presidential election after the fall of Egypt's dictator be the free and fair vote the revolutionaries had hoped for? On this edition of News Analysis, we're discussing the challenges facing Egypt in its move toward democracy. Stay with us.
Commission's decision to turn down an appeal by Mubarak's intelligence chief Omar Suleiman comes after a strong reaction from Egyptian revolutionaries. They threatened they would take to the streets if members of the former regime rose to power again. Muslim Brotherhood's candidate Khairat al-Shatter also lost his chance to become Egypt's next president. The popular Islamic Party still has another candidate who can run in the election. A final list of candidates will be released just under a month before the vote on April 26. Tensions in Egypt's political scene are not isolated to the upcoming presidential poll. The ruling generals are rushing political parties to finish writing the constitution prior to the vote. This has fueled speculations that the generals may delay the election if the constitution is not written by then, and thus extend their grip on power. The military's intervention in the process of writing the constitution does not end there. A military court suspended a 100-member parliamentary panel that was supposed to prepare the document. Many accused the military of trying to protect its special say in the country's politics as well as its business interests. That includes pushing for an article which bans any civilian government from overseeing the military's budget. What's for sure is that the formation of a civilian government and the writing of a constitution by true representatives of the Egyptian people could ease tensions in the country and pave the way for realization of a true democracy.
Well, joining me now live from Cairo is Mr. Hossein Haridi, Egypt's former deputy foreign minister. Welcome to the show. I'd also like to welcome our guest in London, Mr. Adel Lutfi. He's a writer and journalist. And now with us from Beirut, Mr. Hisham Jaber, director of the Center for Middle East Studies. Thank you so much for joining us, gentlemen. My first question to our guest in Cairo. Mr. Haridi, the Election Commission in Egypt has said that the 10 candidates were knocked out of the race on legal grounds. Now, first of all, do you agree with these legal grounds that have been put forward by Election Commission authorities?
Yes, madam. I have to salute the Presidential Election Commission in Egypt. It has shown courage, and the decision taken today has eased the way for a more sober presidential campaign. Three out of the 10 would be presidential candidates. If they had been allowed to take part in the presidential elections, would have caused a lot of political tension within Egyptian society and among Egyptian political forces. But I have to underline the fact that the Presidential Commission, when taking its decision on disbarring them from entering the presidential race, did that on strictly legal grounds.
Well, Mr. Haridi, before I turn to our other guests now, I'd just like to put to you again the question of the qualification of the judges who are making these decisions in the Election Commission. That's been an issue that's been raised by opponents of this decision. They've been saying, while these people belong to Hosni Mubarak's regime, are they qualified to make this decision about the election process that's upcoming?
Well, madam, this argument of high Egyptian officials belonging to the Mubarak era is a false argument. These are judges. The president of the Presidential Commission is the president of the Constitutional Court of Egypt, and his deputy is is among the highest sitting judges on the State Council and in the Court of Appeals. So, and these judges have very good reputation from a legal point of view. And I guess I don't share this argument of opposing them right, solely because they were appointed by the former president of Egypt. I guess all of them have been working for the state of Egypt and not for any single president
right,
per se.
Well, let's put this question to Mr. Adel Lutfi now in London. Mr. Lutfi, would you also agree with the comments being made there by our guest in Cairo that actually these people were qualified to make this decision? And basically, the fact that this has happened, that these people were disqualified and now they appealed this disqualification and that appeal was turned out, how has all this influenced the political atmosphere of the elections in Egypt?
Actually, I believe that those judges are capable judges, and they have the experience and the capability and the knowledge and integrity to make such decisions. But the trouble is, and that's very serious trouble, the constitutional declaration declared by the junta is illegal, unconstitutional, and it defies human rights and legality, especially when it comes to choosing the president. For example, you have people who were sentenced by military courts. They were convicted by military courts in faked, fabricated cases. Somebody else like Ayman Noor probably faced the same fate in a civil court. But these were farce trials. When you talk about those who had foreign nationalities or their parents or close relatives had foreign nationality, actually that is sick. That is against human rights. An Egyptian is an Egyptian. I am an Egyptian. I have been in Britain since school day. I've been here over 30 years. And I do love Egypt more than anywhere else. Why should not I be allowed to go and contend in such a race and try to serve my country in any way right. or any capacity? So that the rule is bad. The base is wrong and rotten. But the committee is okay and has made the right decisions, though there is political interference behind it from the military council, especially right. when it comes to Omar Suleiman, because they feared that their man would cause a new revolution in Egypt.
Well, something just mentioned there, Mr. Hisham Jaber, let's have your view on this as well. The question of whether this committee has been influenced by the military council. We were hearing some protesters in Egypt making claims and chanting in their protest, the military council and the U.S. are one hand. They were saying that these people have been trying to, with the support of foreign powers, they were saying, trying to influence the political process, trying to influence those decision-making. So what do you think about the independence of this election commission and the role of the military here?
Yeah, nobody can deny the role of the military and the armed forces in Egypt. No one can deny this, and they will still have their influence, and they are fighting now, as we said, and before the election of the new president, to have, to keep and to protect their role and their influence inside the Egyptian society. No one can deny this. And we will explain this in detail, their role in the foreign policy, their role in the internal problems in Egypt, their role in the economy, because the armed forces in Egypt is not only army, but it's involved in banking, in economics, in education, and and security inside the country, and also in the foreign relations, especially the relationship between the armed forces in Egypt and the United States. And we cannot deny also that the army in Egypt, this military council, had that very effective role to kick out the ex-president Mubarak. Otherwise, it could the revolution could stay 4 months.
Right.
More. Second, but if you ask me about the influence of the military institution on the commission, presidential commission, I don't think so. I think the presidential commission, like your guest said, has a lot of respect and trust among the population in Egypt. The reason and the proof of this, that when they reject Omar Suleiman, nobody can deny that Omar Suleiman is far away from the military council. Omar Suleiman, until the last day of Mubarak, was
right.
very close to the military institution. And I don't think they, when they have the courage to reject the candidature of Mr. General Omar Suleiman for only 36 voices, you know, to compare with 30,000 voices he needed, he has only lack of 36 voices, was rejected for this reason, not apparently because he was one of the pillars of the last regime. That was the reason of the commission. He did not have, he did not complete the conditions. And also when they reject Khairat Shatter, Khairat Shatter is the first candidature of Muslim Brotherhood who control the parliament, and nobody can deny also their influence now after the election.
Well, Mr. Jaber, if I could stop you there, if I may, because you refer to the Muslim Brotherhood. That's an issue that I want to bring up in the course of the program. But first, sticking with the issue of the military influence before we move on, back to our guest in Cairo, Mr. Haridi, one issue that's also causing a lot of concern is the insistence that we're hearing coming from the military council, the pressure that it's putting for the constitution, they say, to be written and to be approved in a referendum, preferably, they say, before the elections are held. Now, some people are for this move and some people are against it. Some are saying, well, 1 month is not enough for this whole constitution process to take place. On the other hand, if it doesn't take place, this, what does this show? Does this show the military council is trying to maintain its power? What's your view on this?
Well, I believe the military, when they say that they want to hand over the authority to a civilian, an elected civilian president. As a matter of fact, before the parliamentary elections last October and till last January, the military council promised to hand over legislative powers to a newly elected parliament, and the military did that on January 23rd, 2012. And I sincerely believe that the military would like to go back to the barracks on June 30th. As far as the constitution, the writing of the new constitution is concerned, I don't think this is a very serious issue. Egypt has a long constitutional history, and drafting a new constitution should not take much time. Having said that, we have to take into account the fact that most political forces and political parties in Egypt have agreed on the most salient articles in this constitution. One issue remains to be clarified is the following: whether the Egyptian system will be a parliamentary system, a presidential system, or a mixed system, mixed parliamentary presidential. I believe that the consensus or the near consensus among the political forces in this country is that for the foreseeable future, Egypt needs a mixed system, that is to say, partly parliamentary and partly presidential. In this context, they will have to discuss the responsibilities of the new head of state. And I think there is also a consensus on that. Supposing that for one reason or another, the Constituent Assembly or the Constituent Commission wouldn't be able to finish drafting the new constitution before June 30th,
right,
then I believe that there won't be a constitutional void in Egypt, in as much as we have a constitutional declaration. And I guess once we have a new head of state and power will be transferred from the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces,
right,
to this gentleman, and I guess he could exercise his powers according to the constitutional declaration till we have a new constitution.
Well, Mr. Lotfi, we have one major figure in Egypt, Mohamed El-Baradei. He's been saying that, in his view, the fact that the military has been calling for this constitution to be written before the election, he said, in his own words, this is a travesty of the political process in Egypt, that the Egyptian people deserve much more than this when we're speaking of the new constitution of the new and the future Egypt. Basically, do you think that the military, as our guest in Cairo was saying, is actually looking for a way to turn back to the military barracks? It's not looking to maintain its influence, that needs exemption from civilian oversight of its budget, for instance, that it did suggest at one point?
I guess the question is for me?
Yes, Mr. Lotfi.
Before the revolution started, month before the revolution, and on this very channel, and others, I and others said that the intelligentsia of Egypt, including Mr. Baradei and some other big names, should form a council of wise men who would embrace the revolution when it happens and form a transitional government accepted to everybody and would have been welcomed by everybody. But the trouble is Mr. El-Baradei is no leader. He's a nice man, but he is no leader. I still encouraged the Egyptians to go or to be around him and to encourage the intelligentsia to stand around the man to form that transitional government. But nothing has taken place. And unfortunately, the Muslim Brotherhood stuffed up the revolution. They killed it up, finished it. And we are back in square one, and we have again to think about forming a presidential council from wise men, including or headed by Mr. El-Baradei. He is no leader, but he is the symbol of this revolution. He's a nice man, he's intelligent, and if the intelligentsia and the intellectuals and the notables of Egypt stand by him, And be responsible, because they are not. All what we are seeing on the surface are people who are the products of the old regime.
Well, the question is, would you say, however, the question was, is the military, in your view, going to maintain its power? Is it after going back to its barracks or trying to stay in power, holding on?
From the 11th of February last year, I said on this channel to the Egyptian guys, stay in the square, don't move, don't budge. But they were fooled by the intellectuals of Egypt, the intelligentsia.
Right.
And they were fooled by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Egyptians.
Well, speaking about the Muslim Brotherhood, Mr. Lotfi, sorry for interrupting, because we're short of time. I'd just like to continue with this discussion with our guests in Beirut.
They are not going to budge. They are not going to go.
Yeah, I'll come back to you. Mr. Jaber, speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood, what's being said a lot now is in the media's word, or in the words of some observers, the domination by the Muslim Brotherhood. They're saying the fact that they're rising, the fact that one of their candidates has been disqualified. Do you agree with the analysis, first of all, that the Muslim Brotherhood is dominating politics now in Egypt, and that should be viewed as a threat?
General, of course, everybody knows that at the beginning of the revolution, Muslim Brotherhood did not move, did not have anything of this revolution. But they are smart enough, they took over the result of the revolution. Now they are in the parliament, no one can deny this. And let me tell you why. This is democracy. People in Egypt, after 40 years of dictatorship, of poverty, and young men who did not find any job, they had no choices whether to go to hashish or to the mosque to listen to the Muslim Brotherhood. Now they arrived to the power. Why they took those voices and they won on the election? Because the secular, like Mr. Lotfi was talking about, the intelligent person, intelligentsia. It's not enough in the street. The people in Egypt doesn't need intelligent people. They want somebody who can answer their questions or can be close to them. when the Salafi came with their invasion in the election, many people in Egypt, among the secular and the national parties, they moved to the Muslim Brotherhood to support them, because they consider Muslim Brotherhood as a buffer zone between the Salafi and the secular. Now they are under power. Of course, they control the parliament. And like Mr. Hariri said, that the army, armed forces will go back to their barracks. I don't think so, because the armed forces, as we said, who was in the power for 60 years, they will not go to the barracks. They will try first to have the new president in their range and to their side. Otherwise, they will make, because the parliament is not on their side, as we said, Muslim Brotherhood, they will try to make a compromise, and they started to do it with the Muslim Brotherhood about the future of the military institution in the country. And I think the Muslim Brotherhood will make this compromise with the armed forces. Now we have to wait to see the new president, and the power will be divided, like Mr. Hariri said.
Right, we're running out of time, Mr. Jaber. Sorry for interrupting you. I'd like to give a last comment to our guest in Cairo on this. Mr. Hariri, would you say the Muslim Brotherhood, we know that the Muslim Brotherhood took part in elections and people voted for their MPs to go into parliament. That's the argument that they themselves are putting forward. However, should this be viewed as a threat, as the media, in some media at least, are portraying it?
Well, it depends on where you stand on the issue. Definitely, the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood, ever since their establishment back in 1928, has been anti-democratic. But what happened in Egypt after the downfall of former President Mubarak is that people did not find any organized political force in front of them. So the people trusted the Muslim Brotherhood. But I guess there is, I can assure you today, madam, that there is a growing disappointment and disenchantment among the majority of Egyptians as far as the Muslim Brotherhood is concerned. I guess the future of Egyptian democracy lies in the fact that all political forces should strive for the middle ground, for political compromises, for the sake of establishing a well-functioning Egyptian democracy. And Egypt does not belong to a single party or to single organization or to single single ideology. Let me bring up the army once again, madam. The Egyptian army, whether after 1952 or prior to 1952, has always been an integral part of the Egyptian nationalist movement. And it will remain a part, a very strong party in Egyptian society. Most Egyptians have always had a deep respect for the military in Egypt. The military in Egypt belongs to the whole people of Egypt.
Right.
I, for one, I spent 4 years of my life among the Egyptian military. So you won't find anyone in Egypt who would be accusing the military or who would be attacking the military.
Right,
so
Mr. Hariri, I'm afraid I've got to stop you because we've run out of time.
Okay.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The issue of the military forces in Egypt, a lot of questions remaining on that as we're seeing the ongoing protests taking place. But unfortunately, we've run out of time for this program. A big thank you there to Mr. Hossein Hariri, Egypt's former deputy FM. Also, our guest in London, Adel Lutfi, writer and journalist, and Mr. Hisham Jaber, director of the Center for Middle East Studies, joining us live from Beirut. Thank you so much for staying with us. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.